In today's news headlines, mass protests continued across the United States on Monday, exactly 1 week to the day since a 46-year-old black man named George Floyd was killed by four police officers in Minneapolis in a videotaped incident. Cities around the country have been dominated by thousands of protesters chanting Black Lives Matter, frustrated with the police killings of unarmed African Americans in their own cities. Police have continued to react with disproportionate force, claiming that they're quelling the looting of businesses. But most documented incidents show police coming down with pepper spray, tear gas, flashbang grenades, and rubber bullets on largely peaceful protesters. Meanwhile, many media reports and elected officials have fixated on the smashing of store windows. The Washington Post estimates that more than 60 million residents in the U.S. have been placed under curfew in more than 200 U.S. cities and at least 27 states. On Monday evening, President Donald Trump addressed the nation in a brief and provocative speech, during which he threatened to invoke the U.S. military to quell the protests.
If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence.
That's a part of President Trump's speech on Monday that was widely denounced by people across the political spectrum for throwing fuel on the fire of dissent in the U.S. Trump's threat is based on a rarely used law called the Insurrection Act, which allows presidents to invoke military action domestically. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden denounced Trump as fascist, and Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky said the president, quote, just declared war on millions of Americans and the First Amendment. Just before Trump spoke, law enforcement authorities violently cleared Lafayette Square of peaceful protesters in order to give Trump a photo op in front of St. John's Church, where Trump had his picture taken holding a Bible. The protesters, who were lawfully assembled half an hour before a curfew went into effect, met the criteria of the kind of protesters Trump said he supported in his speech. Here's what the scene looked and sounded like. That's footage of authorities violently clearing away Lafayette Square of peaceful protesters so the president could walk from the White House to a nearby church for a photo op. The White House later released a campaign-style video of Trump walking to the church set to triumphant music. Clergy and other officials affiliated with the church that Trump used as a backdrop denounced his actions. Rector Ginny Gerbasi, who had worked at St. John's Church and was among the protesters that were dispersed, said, quote, that man turned it into a battleground first and a cheap political stunt second. Bishop Marianne Edgar Booty of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington said in response, I am outraged. The president did not pray when he came to St. John's, nor did he acknowledge the agony of our country right now. We distance ourselves from the incendiary language of this president. We follow someone who lived a life of nonviolence and sacrificial love, and I just can't believe what my eyes have seen. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser also chimed in, saying she was very shocked and frankly outraged. The ACLU has now demanded a congressional probe into the tear gassing. The Democratic Party's presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden addressed the nation on Tuesday in response to Trump. While he slammed Trump for fanning, quote, the flames of hate, he also echoed the increasingly popular line among politicians of distinguishing between peaceful protests and violent ones.
There's no place for violence, no place for looting or destroying property or burning churches or destroying businesses, many of them built by the very people of color who were the first time in their lives were beginning to realize their dreams and build wealth for their families. nor is it acceptable for our police, sworn to protect and serve all people, to escalate tension, resort to excessive violence. We need to distinguish between legitimate peaceful protests and opportunistic violent destruction.
That's former Vice President Joe Biden on Tuesday responding to Trump's handling of the mass anti-police protests. On Monday, Biden elicited shock when he suggested that one of the ways police could reduce their violent tactics against a suspect was, quote, to shoot him in the leg instead of in the heart. Biden made the controversial comments during a speech to black congregants of the Bethel AME Church in Wilmington, Delaware. Mayor Greg Fisher of Louisville, Kentucky, fired his city's police chief, Steve Conrad, after police killed a 53-year-old black protester named David McAtee. McAtee was the owner of a local barbecue restaurant in Louisville and was killed when police fired into crowds of protesters who had gathered in a parking lot early Monday morning. Louisville has been one of the centers of mass protests over the police killing of a black woman named Breonna Taylor. And police in Austin, Texas, have critically injured several protesters, including a 20-year-old black man who is in critical condition, as well as a teenager and a pregnant woman. Reuters estimates that 5 police officers have been injured nationwide. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that LA's police department and the FBI are gathering protest footage to start bringing charges against protesters. More than 1,000 people have been arrested in LA since the anti-police brutality protests began. The FBI has apparently put out a nationwide call for video and still footage of protesters, but not of police committing acts of violence. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison has now called for an investigation into a police attack on an Australian news crew in Washington, D.C. Australian opposition leader Anthony Albanese said, in a democratic society, the role of the media is critical and it's important the media are able to report on events, including crises such as we're seeing in the United States, free from harassment. He added, the violence that has occurred toward members of the media is completely unacceptable. Finally, the social media giant Twitter announced on Monday that it has taken down an account called Antifa_US that was set up by the white supremacist far-right group Identity Europa. The account posted an incendiary call for violence, posing as advocates of Black Lives Matter. Trump has said that he will declare Antifa, an ideology of anti-fascism, not an organization, as terrorist. Meanwhile, Facebook employees upset that their CEO Mark Zuckerberg wants to allow Trump's misinformation to go unchecked have staged a virtual walkout. After Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey began to tag some of Trump's false claims with fact checks, Zuckerberg opined that Trump's lies should flourish unchallenged by the platform. And that does it for our news headlines today.